Hello, Ryan. Good to see you. It's wonderful to be with you guys this morning. And yes, there's this. Thank you. I wish I could bring you into my journey the last year of my life, but I told Kalais, I've come through a real deep wilderness. Not ministered in probably the last 10 months and slowly coming back. Last year, November, the wheels came off. And
thank you.
Sunnydale, I'm in Sunnydale PM, and thank you so much. And when I do anything there, they set tissues out for me. I told Kala, I actually, because of trauma, I stopped crying at the age of 13. And when I hit the wall last year, my father just opened the well of tears that was locked up in me for years. And I've started crying November, I've not stopped. And I'm so ashamed of it at times. I say to him, I can't minister. I'm glad I got through the worship because I don't seem to get through worship anymore. Last year, November, I found myself at a place where my heart was dull and empty. Broken. And the worst thing of all, no longer in love with him. I found myself at a place where I will open my Bible to get a teaching, not to enjoy him anymore. And I had counseling as well. I think you can't even thought I would have the need for counseling. And the first day after the first session, I was given a little yellow notebook. No one's allowed to read what's in there because it's my raw emotions on paper. And I remember the next morning, you see, I go, I actually want to talk about Jesus. I'll get there now. My first morning, up early after the first session. Am I going to say this? Doesn't want to come out. I sat down with my Bible open and this little journal. And I felt him say, just close your books. It's the first time in months I heard his voice. And I heard him say to me, I missed you. Oh, man. There's a verse, I think it's in Jeremiah, that if you want to understand the heart of God, he looks at Israel and he says to him, I thought by now you would call me father. You see, the narrative of Scripture is endless love. Endless love from Genesis to Revelation. God, that's violently pursuing. And I always used to ask the Lord, you know, when Adam fell. Like, I don't know how many people with their color will probably know. But say to the Lord, why didn't you just pull the plug quickly? Do a 0.2 upgrade. See, but the fall of Adam changed Adam. Didn't change God. And it's amazing to see God's response to the first sin in the earth. And that's the narrative. Adam hides. And his father comes. Where are you? And so I asked the Lord, why didn't you just upgrade Adam quickly? And the answer was so simple, but it struck me so deeply. He said to me, because I loved him. I can just see God, Adam, hiding in sin. He's no longer carries the image of God. He's no longer his son. He's now sin-drenched. And God remembers when he put his lips against Adam's face and breathed into him. Love you. Where are you? You see, that's the cross. It's almost like God wanted to say to Adam, it doesn't say that, so don't quote me. It's not in the Bible. It's almost as if he wanted to say to him, I'll make a way back. I can fix this. I can fix this. And I think that's where we went to a little bit of worship. You know, we go way, way back. Each one sitting here, you are a trophy of grace. You have a history with a faithful Father who loves you deeply. And he's not looking for a good Christian. He's looking for a son and a daughter. He wants connection. That's your design. You're the only creature made to mine and know the heart of God. To know Him in intimacy. You know, it's a dangerous place to be. And this was me. Faithful with church, bored with God. Anyways, are you okay, Carla? Can I share with you? You're still in love? Or is this just a cold, rational thing? You're still burning? When last have you enjoyed God? When last have you enjoyed your Father? It's like awe came upon me November, December, January. Like this, I would like take the Bible. I had such a hunger for the Word again, not to fill my mind with information, but just to look at my God and fall in love with Him. And I found myself mornings just bowing my knees. I couldn't read my Bible, sitting or standing. I had to go down on my knees and read it. Oh, falling in love again with Him. You see, your heart was designed to carry a flame. And the neglect of that would actually leave you without purpose and empty. He wants you. And now I'm going to get to what I wanted to share. Am I nice enough? Carla said something years ago. It became the mantra of my life. If I were to put on a tattoo that's visible, it would be this. Carla once said, face to face was always his idea first. You see, there was a prayer in his heart long before creation. And one thing I've found myself stumbling into, and I'll share this briefly and then go to worship or something, but I found myself being caught up in the story again. When last have you just gotten lost in the narrative of Scripture? The most beautiful, most incredible love story ever written. And it's your story. I've been caught up in the story of God. Man, it's a beautiful story. It's simple. But it's beautiful. It's profound. And this morning I felt like when I was spending time with the Lord this morning, I felt like He wanted me to just share these couple of things with you concerning Christ. And I wanted to, in a hope, pull back a curtain so that you may look upon the humility of God and find wonder again, and so that the flames in your heart can burn brightly, bright as the sun. The humanity of Jesus. Do you know He was so human that His humanity was never questioned, only His divinity. In Hebrews it says, He became like us in every way, yet without sin, but in every way. You see, He not only lived His life for you, He lived His life as you. And He humbled Himself even to the point of death. His humility, His humiliation didn't start with His journey to Golgotha. His humiliation started when the God who spoke light into eternity, the God through whom all things were created, the God that numbers the stars in the sky, that numbers the sand in the earth. Paul would say, the God who holds all things together, He is uncreated, eternal, glorious, high, exalted, no beginning, no end. Alpha, Omega. The God who lifted sand and filled it with oceans. The God who sculpted Table Mountain and the Alps in Switzerland with His fingers. That God climbs into the womb of a teenage Jewish girl. And He becomes a singular cell in her womb. And the God who needs nothing now needs His mother. And the hands that sculpted Mary is now being formed inside her womb. You just think of that. Just dream with me when God made Mary in the womb, knowing what He's called her to carry. It was God choosing the color of her eyes and her fingers and her hands and the color of her hair. And then Mary is born. And years later, the hands that made her is now inside a womb growing as a baby. We've lost the wonder of the story. How humble that must have been. You know, we have this picture of Jesus. John says He grew in wisdom and in favor. Can you imagine
God growing in wisdom. The all-knowing. It's the tension in Christ. He was fully God, yet fully human. There was a part of him that's been eternal without beginning and end. All-knowing, all-sufficient, all-powerful. Yet there's the other side to him that now has a filthy diaper. And the God who needs nothing cries at night because he's hungry. Come on. Wake up to wonder. You want to know how much you are loved? God climbs into human skin. He goes as low as he can go. Even his life, where he's from, it was lower class. He wasn't even born in the lower class. I mean, he was born in the low place of the lower class, not in a palace. And the king gets born into the earth in a stable with animals. We've lost the wonder and the awe of God. I pray that you will get caught up in this story again and that your heart will burn. He was so common that when he started his ministry, do you remember Jesus got baptized? And we pause there for a moment and then I'll call him. I said, okay, can I go where I'm going? I'm checking you. Can you imagine? And I'm jumping around. Are you guys okay with that? John the Baptist is now in the Jordan teaching, preaching, declaring, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming that will baptize you in fire. And while he's preaching that, Jesus is standing in the queue waiting to be baptized by John. No one knows who's standing behind them or in front of them. He's just like them. And one day when John is preaching, there's one coming after me. I can just imagine as he preaches that, it's like the Spirit of the Lord unveils him. And he sees, oh my, there he stands. I can't baptize you. You should baptize me. But he had to be baptized. Why? Because he was you. And Paul says, now we have a high priest that can stand before the throne and say, Father, have mercy. Because I know I've been them. His story is your story. Do you know that the first thing that happened to Jesus when he was born? He had to be adopted. He wasn't Joseph's son. Here is the creator of creation having to be adopted by a Jewish man. Like you, like me. Can you imagine Jesus, the human side of him, having to grow in the revelation that his creator is his father? Can you imagine the human side of Jesus having to discover his sonship in his father? Like you, like me. The humility of God. Can you see it? That's how far love will go. See, the narrative of Scripture is unfailing love. It's the banner over your life. That's what you were made for. That's what you were created for. That's your high call. It's to live with Him. How far would He go for your heart? How far would He go for your heart? And I don't have time to unpack everything. I was thinking about this morning. Listen to this. So the last time God spoke to them, the last time the nation of Israel heard the word of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, was 400 years ago in the book of Malachi. God has been silent for 400 years. And the first time God's voice is heard in the nation is when a baby boy cries. Oh, he is so humble. We are full of pride. We've lost the wonder and the awe of God. The voice of God heard again in the land when a baby cried in a stable. Can you see that? That's how God chose to break his silence. Humble, weak, lowly. I love him so much. I'm so in love with Jesus. How can you not be, how can you not daily be on your knees and say thank you? That the God who has no beginning or end has now a human face. I need to finish up. Are you guys still okay? You know that in the Old Testament, on that, just color taught at the youth equip 2 weeks ago, right? Last Saturday. So you guys need to go get that teaching. That was one of the most spectacular teachings I've heard in a long time. Please go download it. I'll end with this. Isaiah 9, verse 6. You know the scripture very well. Unto us, a son is given and a child is born. Why does the prophet use those words? Do you know? Because the eternal God cannot be born because he has no beginning nor end. So the Father can only give his Son. But a child is born. So the gift of the Son is in the child that is born. Then he goes further to be say, he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Prince of Peace. Have you ever read that before? I want to just share on that, to shine the spotlight on our beautiful Christ. This is a picture years before, probably 700, of how God will relate, how God will come, how God will serve us, how he would love us in the person of Jesus. So your Bible probably reads, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. But if you do a study on the Hebrew there, it's actually not that. It's you can read it together, but it's actually not meant to be together. It's meant to be, he shall be called Wonderful. That word wonderful there means marvelous, supernatural, beyond understanding. And if you want a really good explanation of what that wonderful is, it means the wonders inside this wonder is too wonderful to be articulated in any language. That's what he's saying about Jesus. Is the wonders inside the wonder is too wonderful to be articulated in any language. Words cannot describe the beauty, the majesty, and the glory of the one that's coming. wonderful. Is He still your wonderful? Counselor.
Always when I read that, I saw like what I did counseling, you know, just wisdom. But that's not what the word means. It speaks of perfect wisdom and perfect leadership. Perfect wisdom, perfect leadership. Remember when the disciples said, when Jesus said, "Do you want to go too?" And they said, "Where can we go?" "You have the words of life." That's counselor.
Perfect leadership.
A leadership that can be trusted wholeheartedly. And when you do a study on that word, it actually takes you to Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I can trust where He leads. Counselor. Wonderful. Counselor.
Mighty God. That's an interesting word. It means Gibor. Mighty God. It means warrior. Conquering King. A God that's mighty in battle.
Do you remember when, I think, was it Ezekiel that saw Jeremiah? Who saw the train of his robe filling the temple? Isaiah. Do you remember when Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple." Do you know why He said the train of His robe filled the temple? Because back in ancient Israel, when you went to war, one king against another, and you overcame and you won in battle, you would actually take the, what do you call it in English? The robe. Thank you, Carla. You take the robe of that king that you've conquered and sew it to the end of yours, and then sew it to the end. So whenever you go into battle against another, they would notice that you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You have conquered 5 kings already. So when Isaiah sees the train of his robe filling the temple, he is seeing the King of Kings who conquered all. Gibor, mighty God, preeminent, took the keys of Hades, conquered death. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And now when when you think Prince of Peace, you think probably of when there's no trouble or turmoil. But that word peace, there's the word shalom. And shalom doesn't mean peace. Peace is in the word, but it's not the full meaning of it. It means to be without lack. A place where you don't need anything. Everything has been provided. So He's saying, there's a man coming, and in him, there's fullness. There's no lack. You will need nothing. He will be all sufficient for you. He will satisfy you in full. The bread of life, the living water, is called the Prince of Peace. And then the last one, Everlasting Father. So what He's saying is, there's one coming, that in Him you will be reconnected to the one you came from. You will now have access to your Father again. This is Jesus. He's prophesying about your King. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. He is a wonder. He has been satisfying the Father in full for all eternity. He's the lover of your soul, your bridegroom king, your deliverer and redeemer, your savior, your hope, your light, your joy, your strength. He is your mercy and the grace you need. He is your oil so that the lamp can burn. He is your first love. He is the good shepherd. In him, the fullness of God dwells. He is the hope of glory, the King of kings, the Lord of all. His name is Emmanuel, God with us, God in us. He is the truth, he's the way, the life, the bread of life, the fountain of life, the door. He has no beginning, he has no end. And he is madly in love with you. Maybe we've lost the wonder and the awe of God. And we're just ticking boxes and going through the motions. When the invitation is for so much more. And that so much more is available by the Spirit right now. To live without a burning heart is death to the Christian. Years ago, I heard someone say, Christianity is almost an impossibility if you're not in love. My theological head kicked in and I wanted to argue. 30 years later, I think, like, that must be one of the truest things I've heard in my life. I want to pray with us. Just sing it, just where you're seated. To pray with you, if you are, we're not done yet, but I wanted to pray with you. If you are here this morning and you've lost the wonder of what you've been invited into, you've lost the wonder of the story of love and mercy. You've lost the wonder of Jesus. You're faithful with church, but you're bored with Him. And once, where there once was a fascination with God, a familiarity has settled and you lost the flame. And where once it was your joy, it has become your duty. And where once it was your love, and for some of you, there's the invitation and the call is come back, step back into wide-eyed wonder. Step into the river of the revelation of God so that your heart can catch flame. So that your heart can become what it's always meant to be, a lover. A face-seeking passion. A heart that burns with fascination. That there would no longer be a dullness over your eyes, but a shimmering light, a brightness on your face as you walk in the knowledge of the Lord. As you behold that brilliant man on the throne. John says he's like jasper and sardius. He's bright and red. He's glorious and full of love. That you might have that ache in you that Paul had. I count all things lost compared to the surpassing worth of knowing that man. It's what I was designed to do. To know Him even in His death and resurrection. And the heart slips at times. But there's a God that's coming for the flame inside of you. Maybe some of you have just your soul, your spirit has been asleep. Let there be an awakening this morning once again. Almost like
born again into something more? When last have you been on your knees saying, I need to walk in something greater, God? I want to know you in intimacy. Show me your face, Lord. When last have you had an ache inside? It makes you sick with love. Or are you just okay to go through the motions and show up when there's an eternal longing in the heart of your Creator? And He would say, come to me. You were made to be fully alive. Maybe you've lost the joy and the passion of opening the Word and beholding Him in Scripture. It's like, it's boring for you. That's not of the Lord. And you can't stir it up in yourself. You have to be humble enough to say, Holy Spirit, come reflame me. Come set me on fire. You were meant, you were born to live with a flame on the inside, beloved. As His eyes are burning, so your heart was made to carry a fire. There will come one, John said, that will baptize you with the Spirit and with fire. How many of you have just, you've lost the flame? It's not for you. And I pray that today a violent longing will wake up inside of you to discover and know the beauty of this man, Jesus. That you would fall in love with Him again and fall in love with His story. Fall in love with His humility and fall in love with His majesty. Could get your eyes on the red letters again. Hear Him speak. See Him walk. See Him love. You were made to behold Him. Those eyes were designed for the face of God. You were made to know Him. And you'll be empty until that becomes the longing of your life. And I know my prayer won't shift you. But I know one who can. This is what I want to ask. I don't know. Just want to be bold, maybe. And I view this as important as salvation. Because that was the point of being saved. If you no longer have that ache or flame or longing or desire or joy, you know you drifted. We all do at times. That's why there's a constant returning back to Him. But this morning is one of those mornings where he's inviting you to return to your first love. He wants to blow the dust off the tables in your heart and put fresh bread thereon. Invite you into a feast. Come on, He's knocking on the door of your heart violently. Can I come in? I want to feast with you. I want to wake you up to wonder. I want to bring you back to the road of Emmaus. Did not our hearts burn when He opened the Scriptures pertaining Himself? Jesus be our all, everything. Be our love and our joy, our strength, our life. If that speaks to you, if you feel, you know what I'm saying? Your eyes are dry and your prayer life is shallow. I'm talking to you. If that's you, will you be as bold as to come just say that to me? Maybe come to the front, because I feel like you need to fight for that flame today. If that's you, come to the front. If that's you, no pressure, please. And if you're shy to come to the front, just stand where you are. Just close your eyes for a moment. Just close it for a moment. Jesus gets baptized. Just listen to this. Jesus gets baptized. After his baptism, the Spirit leads him into the wilderness. When he comes out of the wilderness, he finds his way to Nazareth on the Shabbat. And he goes into the synagogue. And as he goes into the synagogue, they say to him, please read the portion of scripture that was laid aside for this day. Jesus takes the scroll. He opens it. It's Isaiah 61. It was written 700 years ago. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news, etc., etc., etc. After reading the portion of scripture, it says, all were amazed when they looked at him. Then he said, this prophecy is now being fulfilled in front of you. I am he that Isaiah prophesied 700 years ago. So they sat with wide-eyed wonder, and then rationality kicked in. And they said, surely he can't be that one. We know him from his childhood. He used to walk the streets of Bethlehem and Nazareth. We know his friends and his cousins. Surely it's just a normal. There's something wrong with this man. He cannot be him. Why I'm saying that to you is, this is now not a moment to be rational. It's to have an open heart so that you can be filled with wonder, wide-eyed wonder again. Don't let your mind get in the way of what the Spirit needs to do inside of you. Just open those doors and let the breath of God comes in. Because, beloved, He wants a bride that's on fire for His Son. And before I pray for you, just you. Before I pray for you, you cry out to the Lord. Whether you're sitting there or standing here, just pray. Just close your eyes. Just ask Him to come. He will respond to your voice much more than to mine. Just ask Him. I want wide-eyed wonder. I want a fire inside of me again. Remove the dullness from this heart, Lord. Make me sensitive to the Spirit again. Help me to not overcomplicate. Let it be simple again. You and me. I love you, you love me. I want you, you want me. Bring us back to our first love, Lord. Holy Spirit, I want to pray for those who's standing here, for those seated. You know where their hearts have drifted to. But you're running to that heart, wherever it is. And you're restoring it back to what it was always meant to be. A heart on fire in love.
Father, I thank you that, if I may, the test of the relationship is not merely in this room, but it is as we go from this room, wherever. May we continue to stoke the fire and enjoy you in moments like this, in moments outside of this, every time. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, guys. Of course, if you guys still want to stay around and speak to the Lord, you're welcome. But officially, the meeting is finished. It seems like you get the drift.